Coming up on today's edition of the Next Fan Up podcast.
If you're a fan of football at all, if you're listening to this podcast, I assume that you are.
So I don't think Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, Matt Stafford, I don't think any of those guys are going to win a Super Bowl while they're making $25 million a year.
Yeah, well, if you make it to the playoffs, good luck.
So it's week one of the NFL season, and we're going to get the show started. There's no reason to be excited. Here we go.
Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to this Patriots edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. Okay, it's not a Patriots edition, but it is kickoff edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. I am Pod Vader. I will be here with you every Wednesday with new interviews for you to listen to, put in your earbuds, and enjoy. And of course, with it being the kickoff week, the Patriots, the defending Super Bowl champions, are defending on Thursday night against the Kansas City Chiefs. And that is why I bring to you a Kansas City Chiefs-centric podcast. I did not focus a lot on the Patriots. You're going to get enough of that Patriots love from me in all of the shows. So I'm going to focus more on the Chiefs side of things. And of course, we all have an update from the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League. And by update, I mean I'll be talking with my first opponent. So we've got all of that stuff coming to you here in this Wednesday show. If you want to get in touch with us, nextfanup@gmail.com is the best way to reach us. That's our email address. You can tweet us at NFU Podcast. And of course, all of our podcasts are found on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NFU Podcast. We'll gladly have a conversation with you on our Facebook page. We're that kind of person. We want to just talk with you, other fans, about football. Speaking of which, if you are a Buccaneers fan, we still have an opening. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers is the only team that we do not have a super fan for. So if you want to represent the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, use that email address, nextfanup@gmail.com, and we'll get you in here. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whichever you prefer calling it, Stitcher, TuneIn, AHA Radio, anywhere great podcasts are heard. We'll bring you at least three shows a week. There may be a bonus show in there from time to time, but on Thursdays, you're going to get the previews featuring myself and a bunch of other superfans, plus the superfan battles for the biggest games of the week. On Mondays, you're going to get it first thing Monday morning. It'll be the first podcast out there that's available for you to hear the recaps of the game. And again, all of the super fans will be involved in that show. So you're going to want to, you don't want to miss out on that. And then we'll be back again every Wednesday with at least one interview, probably from the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League, or I will reach out to some of my friends out in the industry, other podcasters. This is the show that will present you with interviews. And so, since it is an interview show, enough from me. Let's bring in my first special guest. It's Josh Briscoe. All right, it's my pleasure now to bring in my Kansas City Chiefs opponent for this week, I guess, if we want to say that. It's Josh Briscoe, the host of the Roughing the Kicker podcast and almost entirely sports on ESPN Kansas City. It's Josh Briscoe. Hello, Josh.
Hello. I almost just said Pod. I almost said Jay. What do you go by nowadays? Like, you have this whole thing. Both. Is it still Pod?
I go by both. I like going by Pod Vader, if only to keep him separate from, you know, my actual family life. Because my
right,
wife,
that's good.
The wife absolutely hates Pod Vader. She refuses to even acknowledge that a character named Pod Vader even exists.
That's probably for the best. Keeping your persona over there. That probably works out, I guess.
Could be. But I still call her Queen Padme. She hates it.
Good.
And, you know, the kids have their Star Wars nicknames. They hate it. So, yeah, it all works out.
It sounds like you're the only one enjoying any of this.
Yeah, pretty much. Josh, before we get into the game, I'm just gonna launch right out of the cannon because I'm reading an article you've got here on FanSided about Patrick Mahomes. Now, I don't know if you've heard my opinion about Mahomes, but essentially, I thought this was the worst move of the 2017 draft? Was Kansas City trading up for Patrick Mahomes?
Well, clarifying question, why on earth would you think that?
Well, first of all, and despite the success, and I'm putting success in quotes for all these rookie quarterbacks during this preseason, we were talking about this quarterback draft as being one of the worst, right up there with 2013's quarterback draft. Mm-hmm. And any team that made a move up to acquire one of these horrible pieces of their future was doing themselves a disservice. To me, it makes sense that you're looking, you have to get a quarterback. You have to take the gamble. You have to make a move on a guy who's going to be unproven. Mm-hmm. To me, the Chiefs are a Super Bowl contending team that cannot afford the luxury this year to give everything up to get a piece of the future, if that makes any sense.
Sure, sure.
To me, there were much more valuable assets available to them, even with hindsight being 2020, if they had stayed in their spot and picked a piece that could actually help contribute to them winning a Super Bowl this year. That's the way that I looked at it. And that was sort of, that's the prism that I'm looking at this move from.
Well, I think the front end, I have a fundamental disagreement with what the Chiefs can actually do this year. I think the best thing the Chiefs can do this year is lose to the Steelers or Patriots in the playoffs. Like, I think that barrier is still absolutely there. I think the Chiefs are probably closer to being a contender than they were last year, just because as of right now, they're more or less healthy. And that's something we haven't been able to say about this team for a while. But for me, the actual Super Bowl window will only open up if Patrick Mahomes hits. And what I've seen from him, his individual tools I saw in college, what I've seen him do in the preseason, I'm sure you saw the highlight go around last week during the Titans preseason game where he was just sprinting right, threw a ball off his back foot, getting hit by the pass rusher, and it hits DeMarcus Robinson streaking down the field, like 45 yards downfield. It was literally a throw that I promise this is not an overreaction, and I'm also not calling Patrick Mahomes Aaron Rodgers, but it's a play that if you would have had a Madden simulation, put him in a Packers jersey, I would have gone, oh, look at that amazing play that Aaron Rodgers made. That's the kind of tools that he has, and at this point, I am so thirsty for a quarterback who can do that I am shamelessly excited about Pat Mahomes.
See, for me, I look at that play and I go, there's a guy who's making a desperation play who has no business throwing that ball in the first place. Like, oh my God, yeah, it worked out this time, but you know how many times it's not going to work out? And I I take that step back too, because I do see a lot of Favre in him.
Yes,
and
right.
Favre is a Hall of Fame quarterback, but he also comes with the caveat of knowing he led he's the all-time leader in NFL history in interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, I don't know. I mean, I guess you kind of have to take the good and the bad at the same time.
Right. And that's going to next year, Kansas City is going to be one of the most fun markets for other fan bases to just keep an eye on every once in a while. Like, everybody in the NFL should just pick like three or four Chiefs related people to follow next year. So you can see what the fan base does moving from Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes, because the good and the bad is going to be hilarious to watch if your own happiness doesn't live and die by it. Because there are going to be interceptions and throws made that turn out negatively that Alex Smith never would have even thought about. And there are going to be incredible plays that Alex Smith never even would have thought about, that Patrick Mahomes will make both of those.
Yeah.
Up and down. The roller coaster next year is going to be incredible.
Yeah, when Alex Smith leads the Jacksonville Jaguars to the Super Bowl and Kansas City is lamenting with Patrick Mahomes throwing all his rookie interceptions.
Sorry, you cut out for a second. You say whenever Alex Smith leads the Jags to being 9-7 and then making the playoffs and losing in the wild card round. You cut out just for a second there. I assume that's what you said.
See, I don't know why you guys are so down on Alex Smith. Honestly, if the Patriots didn't have Jimmy Garoppolo, Alex Smith would be the exact quarterback I want as the successor to Brady.
For like a season, maybe. I'm telling you, man, it's and listen, putting it in a Bill Belichick spectrum, that would change things. I think it would make it really interesting to see how he would work in that system. But I'm not down on Alex Smith. I just know Alex Smith. I don't hate Alex Smith. I don't think he's terrible. I don't think that he's an incompetent trash quarterback.
I just know what he is. And what he is he'll probably win 11 games and get you into the playoffs. And then eventually you have to rely on the rest of your team to take you to the next level. The NFL doesn't work that way anymore. You have to have an elite quarterback or a valuable quarterback. And Alex Smith is neither of those.
It's interesting. That's an interesting take. One that I will still disagree with you, because I think if you put the right tools around Alex Smith, he's going to do just fine for you, and he's going to win a Super Bowl for you. We've seen it. I mean, well, Joe Flacco's got a Super Bowl ring.
Exactly. But so here's the thing on that though, that's so interesting, and I love this conversation. Joe Flacco won the Super Bowl in his last year of his rookie deal. He was making, I think, $8 million that year. You can't put the right tools around Alex Smith while he's making $17, $18, $19, $20 million. The Patriots can't even put that around a $20 million Tom Brady. Brady's making $14 this year, right?
I don't know. It's ridiculous how little.
It's something like that. It's insane. But from my perspective, you've got to have Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, or you have to have Joe Flacco on his rookie deal. You have to have a guy who's making less money than he's earning. Russell Wilson did that. Now, Russell Wilson might be both of those things. He might have been a value then and elite now, but you have to have a guy making enough money that you can put the pieces around him, or you have to have a guy who can overcome not having the pieces. So I don't think Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, Matt Stafford, I don't think any of those guys are going to win a Super Bowl while they're making $25 million a year. It's too hard to win that way unless you have Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers.
Now that is definitely a conversation for another day. Let's move on.
It's true. That's true.
Let's move on to the reason why we connected. And of course, as we connected, you said, I'm all ready for the blowout coming on Thursday evening. You don't really think it's going to be a blowout.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be obvious, though. I think we're going to come back here on Friday and we're going to look at that game. We're going to go, well, the Patriots beat the Chiefs, and it was actually 27-21. That's a pretty close game, except for the Patriots had a 9-point lead, a 9 or 10 point lead the whole game. And then eventually the Chiefs get within one possession at the end. They try an onside kick. It doesn't work. And they go, yeah, the Patriots won only by 6 or 7. They won by one possession. But the game was never really in question. That's kind of where I'm leaning right now.
So our super fans are on the Next Fan Up podcast are going at it after this conversation. They're going to do their full breakdown of the game. Let's assume, just for the sake of saving time here, that we're going to agree the Patriots are going to win this game. What, as a Chiefs fan, are you looking to get out of this game? Going into it, knowing you're going to lose.
Right. Well, I'm looking to see, and this kind of makes it, I guess, a fifth preseason game, but one that matters, which, God, that's depressing. I'm looking to see if Terrence Mitchell is healthy. He's the second cornerback, and he hasn't played throughout this whole preseason with a hamstring injury. I'm looking to see how Eric Berry looks. He's missed a ton of time with a heel injury, and I'm looking to see what Justin Houston looks like as he gets back into actual like game speed for really the first time in 2 years. I'm looking to see how those guys look, and then to see where they go from here, because I think they could lose to the Patriots, like I just explained it, and still be the third best team in the AFC. I think that's genuinely a possibility. I want to see how Alex Smith uses Tyreek Hill. I want to see how Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill play off of each other, because those are two crazy matchup problems for literally any defense in the league. I don't think that Alex Smith is the exact guy I want using those two weapons, but those are two incredible ones. So those are kind of the, I guess, five or six guys there that I'm looking out for.
Do any of our 5 million running backs intrigue you more than the running backs you currently have on your roster?
No. Are you trying to get me to buy? I was trying.
I'm really trying to sell one of these Patriot running backs because they have too many of them. Well, but wait. I don't know what team is buying. That's the problem.
Now, one of your guys will score 6 touchdowns in the first 2 or 3 weeks and get traded for too much, and then you'll never hear from him again. I think at this point, the rest of the NFL has to be aware of what it means to trade for a Patriots running back. I can't wait for Danny Woodhead to continue to he's in Baltimore. Danny Woodhead plays for the Ravens now. Like, that's not going to work.
Yeah, it's, you know, unfortunately for Danny, he got hurt. I think it'll be more intriguing to see what LeGarrette Blount doesn't do.
Yes, right,
for
exactly.
The Philadelphia Eagles that they all expect him to do. Sort of like, it's really not the kind of back you think he is, but okay.
No, I agree with you.
You've mentioned this a couple times now. I don't necessarily know the Chiefs are below the Steelers in my power rankings. I actually think I have the Chiefs ahead of the Steelers.
I can buy into that. You could sell me on that. I could sell myself on that. At this point, it really does end up coming down to, I would say, the quarterback, but really on a larger scale, it's the offense. I don't know if the Steelers offense is top to bottom absolutely more talented than the Chiefs is. But when I look at the quarterback using those weapons, I will take what the Steelers have. They have the running back advantage. They have a more established number one receiver, even though I really am very high on Tyreek Hill. And they have Ben Roethlisberger using those guys. The Chiefs have the defensive advantage in that matchup. But it's last year, the Chiefs had a defensive advantage in most of the games they played, and they still ended up again. They held the Steelers to no touchdowns in the playoffs, and that wasn't enough. At home in Arrowhead, no touchdowns allowed. You lose the game. That's going to haunt me forever.
I got to tell you, too, if this game was scheduled for any other week than week one, being opening night, that place is just going to be lit to the max. You know, I would probably say this game is going to be a lot closer than what I guess even Chiefs fans think. But it is week one. And I do I agree with you. I don't necessarily think it's a blowout. The Patriots don't blow good teams out. They blow out bad teams, but not good teams. That said, they might be looking for a little revenge for a couple of years ago. Yeah. The Brady is done game. Who knows? It is going to be an interesting game, though. I think there's a lot of things going on in that stadium, including Roger Goodell's triumphant return to New England, that I am very much looking forward to seeing how all of that goes down.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And if I was going to give you like an argument to make for how the Chiefs win this game, Chris Jones is a guy to keep an eye on. He was a rookie last year, second round pick. His development throughout last season was incredible. What he's going to be able to do this year as a guy taking the next step, I think, is going to be tremendous. So Chris Jones, Justin Houston, depending on how those guys come in and how the secondary holds up, that's going to be how the Chiefs have to deal with this. If the defense, and I actually think the defense will do a relatively good job, then it's going to be about, can Tyreek Hill, can Travis Kelce pick apart these gaps in the Patriots defense? I don't think they're going to, but I think that's how it happens with the big name guys. I don't think that you're going to see some crazy day from I'm trying to think of even who, like the second. So Philip Gaines is not going to have a good night. I can tell you that definitively.
Josh, how can people find you?
You can follow me on Twitter. It's at JB Briscoe, BRISCO. I have the Ref and the Kicker podcast on Blog Talk Radio that has all the Chiefs stuff. That every Chiefs word that I say shows up there. I also now have almost entirely sports on ESPN Kansas City in the Kansas City area. It's 99.3 FM, 1510 AM. And really, if you follow me on Twitter, though, you'll find stuff everywhere. Arrowhead Addict. I have too many feet in too many different kitchens. Is that how that phrase works? I don't think that's how that phrase works.
Works fine for me.
Perfect.
I love it. Josh, thanks for joining me. Good luck for the rest of the season, I guess. Just not good luck on Thursday night.
Nah, enjoy Thursday. And whenever they cut to Pat Mahomes, whenever Alex throws a pick, know that you're looking into the eyes of the man who's going to dethrone you 2 years from now.
I know you guys are dying and waiting to hear what I have to say about this upcoming game, but I'm not going to give it to you just yet. No, no, no. No, no. You still have to wait a little bit. Here's my interview with my first fantasy opponent, Matt Friedman. It's my pleasure now to bring you my weekly victim, I mean opponent, from the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Football Expert League. Every week during the season, I will bring you an interview with the player that I am facing in the Expert League. And the first opponent is Matthew Friedman, who is the editor-in-chief at Fantasy Labs and the podcast producer at RotoViz. And I can't believe I threw the gauntlet so strongly right off the bat. Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I don't, you know, listen, I like to talk a big game, but really, I mean, I have no business talking such a big game. I did not like the way the draft went for me. And that was probably because I was so focused on hosting and didn't even do a good job at that. Never mind actually drafting my team. So, you'll probably crush me because that's the way these things work out.
Yeah, that's the way I'm hoping it works out. Although I would say I think you did a pretty good job hosting. But yeah, your draft, I think you were distracted. The Andrew Luck pick might end up haunting you, unfortunately.
Yeah, and you know, that was one where I was like, oh, I don't have any time. I don't have any time. And it was a total panic pick. The timer was counting down on me, and I didn't have enough time to look to see what else I needed. And I took him hoping that A, he was going to be healthy for the beginning of the season, but B, to be sort of trade bait. And now he's neither for me.
Yeah, it's the worst case scenario of everything. And that's typically situations like that. That's why I just like to try to wait on quarterback as long as I can. And I ended up getting Carson Palmer in the last round. And hopefully, you know, he can go the distance for me.
I mean, that was the pick that everyone sort of labeled as the pick of the draft, sort of. And you mentioned that was your strategy going into it. And I know there's a lot more people doing drafts. Now, by the time people hear this interview, it's either Wednesday morning or later. I actually have three drafts Tuesday night, which is after we've recorded this interview. Two of them will be happening at the same time. So again, not exactly a primary way of focusing on fantasy drafts. Have you ever done multiple drafts at the same time?
Yeah, actually, when we were doing our draft, I was doing another draft at the same time. That's a dynasty league with some other guys. And but, you know, there's a guy at RotoViz, Nick Giffen, RotoDoc, one of the editors of the site. He prefers to do multiple drafts because he says it helps him stay more focused. Whereas if he's doing only one draft, he'll start obsessing about what the other players are doing. And he thinks he maybe like overanalyzes or gets distracted with other things. And having multiple drafts going at the same time helps him stay focused.
Well, not only am I going to be doing multiple drafts at the same time, but the first two that launch that will be actually going concurrent. One is a 12-team standard league, so that's easy enough. But the other one will be an auction keeper league where we already have the keepers, but now I've got to auction to get to fill in the holes that remain on that team. So focus is going to be key. But then at 9:30, so literally an hour and a half later, where the auction draft will still be going on, I have a 20-team league, and that's just, it's just going to get insane.
Yeah, that's too much. The 20 team is too much. That's hard for anybody.
That one, it's all about making sure you get a quarterback. If you don't get the quarterback, your season's done. But then again, if you have that one major injury, your season's pretty much done. So it is a little bit more luck based than necessarily skill based.
Yeah, it seems like it would be the type of format that would privilege people who are really good at evaluating late round talent, you know, like guys who can benefit in the event of an injury to a starting running back or something like that.
Yeah, that is one of the keys to load up those bench spots with those with those handcuffs. What were some of your general philosophies going into this year? Were you looking more at making sure you focused on getting running backs or wide receivers, or what has your philosophy changed any from over the years?
You know, it's interesting. When I started, you know, I think, you know, most guys who were probably above, you know, like the age of 30 or something like that, it's just, you know, it was typical to go running back really early. And I do that a little less and less now. What I find is that, so this year, if you had a top three pick, you know, before the Zeke suspension, but if you had a top three pick, you were basically going running back. But after that, I was kind of avoiding running back for a good chunk of the draft, unless there was someone who fell and I thought was good value. So I went wide receiver and tight end early in this draft. And that's pretty typical because we had 14 people instead of 12 or 10. I did have to go running back a little bit earlier than I would have wanted. So grabbed Carlos Hyde and Frank Gore. But, you know, people were just attacking the running back position pretty early in our draft. So I thought if I didn't get one of those guys, I was going to be in a pretty bad way. As it is, those are my two running backs, basically. You know, I have DeAndre Washington on the bench. in the event that your Marshawn Lynch isn't able to come back from retirement successfully. But after that, it's Carlos Hyde and Frank Gore, and those are sadly going to be my two running backs. And maybe I'll be able to pick up some people off of waivers and catch some fire that way. But otherwise, I'm pretty full at wide receiver and tight end.
I will tell you, I shouldn't share, but I will share that over the years, I've discovered that these expert leagues, and I'll put the quotes around expert, do tend to be waiver wire treasures, as trading tends to not happen often with us experts. I don't know if it's us ignoring the league or just sort of we value the picks that we made in the draft way too high.
Yeah, I think part of it is you have a lot of people who are in a lot of leagues, and you know, so either they're in leagues that are high stakes and have some serious prizes associated with them, or they're in their longtime, you know, league with friends and family members, and they're playing for pride, and you know, those types of leagues I think tend to take precedence over leagues like this, and I understand it; they probably should. At the same time, like, I don't want to lose a whole bunch of experts, you know, so I think every league is kind of important in its own way.
Well, I mean, I think I've always said about this particular league, the biggest value for us is the draft and making sure that we record our draft and put it out there as early as possible so people can sort of get an idea of where each expert is coming from, what their philosophies are towards the draft. And from a hosting standpoint, I definitely need to do a better job in extracting that type of information out of the folks as the draft is going on. Perhaps next year I should bow out as a expert and allow somebody else to take my spot. But in terms of as the league goes on, it's one of those things where I'm able to bring one of you guys on every week onto my show, and hopefully the other folks are doing that with their shows to provide that sort of that outlet to, again, have differing of opinions from a fantasy philosophical standpoint. And, you know, as we enter week one, we're all going off of what we know preseason. When we get to week two, now we're sort of reacting to what happened in week one. Obviously not overreacting, because you never want to overreact. So that's what I'm hoping people are getting out of the expert league.
Yeah, I mean, by week four, all of our assumptions are going to be dead. And what we thought was true, it just won't even be applicable anymore.
So, Carson Palmer versus Drew Brees. I would say, and hopefully you would agree with me, that at best, that's going to be a push in terms of points scored. I don't think Carson Palmer is going to outdo Drew Brees on a week-to-week basis, but he might.
Yeah, it's not highly feasible. The one thing is he does have a very good matchup against the Detroit Lions, who last year did allow the third most fantasy points to quarterbacks. So he has the edge, I think, in, you know, he has a good matchup. But, you know, on a normal week, I wouldn't expect Carson Palmer to outthrow Drew Brees, who I think is probably the most underrated quarterback of all time.
I think, again, when looking at the running back positions, I think we're fairly equal there as well. Carlos Hyde and Frank Gore for you, LeSean McCoy, Marshawn Lynch for me. I'm also running Adrian Peterson in my flex spot, but I don't necessarily expect a lot out of Adrian Peterson. ESPN predicts that LeSean McCoy should have the best game out of the bunch, but I still see it as a push really in terms of running backs.
Yeah, I think McCoy could have a pretty big game going against the Jets, who traded away Sheldon Richardson. They're just kind of exploding that team there. Adrian Peterson, I mean, I don't walk down Narrative Street too often, but it will be very interesting to see him playing against Minnesota, you know, his first game not there, but still playing in that stadium going against them. I think there's some, you know, obviously some extra incentive for him. And I think teams like to, you know, they like to give their new players the opportunity to punish their old teams. So I could see him getting, you know, some goal line touchdowns and, you know, totally destroying my effort.
This is where I see you having an enormous advantage, is, and you mentioned sort of focusing on wide receiver, AJ Green and Alshon Jeffrey, Rob Gronkowski, you're playing Tyler Eifert in your flex. I've got Brandon Cooks, Cole Beasley filling in for the suspended Willie Snead, which I didn't know about the Willie Snead suspension before the draft, which was really disappointing. And Martellus Bennett at my tight end position. I see you where this game comes down. That's sort of where I think you're going to end up blowing me out of the water.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. And I might end up subbing in a wide receiver for Tyler Eifert. But, Eifert has a tough matchup against Baltimore. Last year, they were a very good defense against tight ends. At the same time, Eifert, in his last 19 healthy games, he has 18 touchdowns. And that is really what I'm chasing. I'm hoping that I get touchdowns. That's the point of drafting him and Gronkowski. And having the big body guys of AJ Green and Alshon Jeffrey, I'm hoping those guys can give me touchdowns.
I never really look at the kicker comparisons until we get later in the season.
Right.
I'll look for like a strong-legged indoor kicker instead of an outdoor kicker playing in bad weather. But otherwise, I don't really look at the kickers. And then on defense, you've got the Bengals versus Baltimore. I moved my number one defensive pick of Seattle, who has Green Bay, and I'm playing my second defense, the Panthers, who are at San Francisco.
Going with the matchup. Yeah, that's a nice matchup. We'll have to see what happens with the Joe Flacco situation, but even if Flacco plays, he hasn't practiced this preseason. I think it's a decent situation for the Bengals.
Yeah. So there you go. I came out all blustery and now I'm sort of I backtracked pretty early, but now I'm really backtracking. Yeah, Matt, you're gonna crush me in this.
I doubt it. it would be nice if it happened, but I think it'll be a close game either way.
Is there a team? I don't know how much you've looked at the league or and the rest of the makeups, but is there a team in this league that you've sort of got your eyeball on, going, oh, that's going to be the team to beat?
I remember during the draft always thinking that Brandon drafting for her sister Ashley was having a great draft. And so, like every pick she would make, I think, oh, you know, I was hoping that player would fall to me. But yeah, I thought she's a sharp drafter. I've been in a couple of leagues with her throughout the years, and she and her sister are pretty sharp. So I think Brandon doing the draft and then Ashley managing what they do on waivers. And I think they were second in the league last year. I could see that being a pretty strong team.
Honestly, I thought they were going to go wire to wire. They were undefeated for the entire season. And then they just had they had their first loss in the worst possible time to have it in the championship game.
Right. So wow, that is tough. They Patriots it. But
no, they falconed it. The Patriots,
that's
the Patriots
fair.
Actually won it.
Yeah.
Unless you're talking about the other Patriots team, which I don't recall what Super Bowl you're talking about.
Yeah, there. No. Well, yeah. Fair point. But that was 2007. You know what I'm talking about.
No, I really don't. But in any case, Matt, where can people find you?
So I just finished a 32 team preview series at Fantasy Labs. And there were some guys who helped out with that on the staff. So we, it's basically 150,000 words on 32 teams, looking at coaching tendencies, roster moves, player previews. So Fantasy Labs is the place to check out all of that work. And then I have player breakdowns that are coming out this week. They'll come out each week in advance of the Thursday night games. And then, of course, there are all of the RotoViz podcasts that people should be checking out.
Awesome. Twitter, where can people find you on Twitter?
Yeah, Matt F. The Oracle.
Listen, I am a child at heart. These sort of things will always amuse me. I am of the Beavis and Butthead generation.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're grown men, ostensibly, talking about a game. A game based on another game played by grown men who are playing a child's game. It's all childlike.
It's awesome, though. That's the best part. It's just awesome. And the fact that it finally kicks off Thursday night is the best part about it.
Yes, it's I'm happy that the season is here. By the time the season's over, I'm going to be glad it's over. But it's fantastic that the season is here.
Matt, thanks so much for joining me on the show. I'm I'm sure we'll talk again down the road, especially if we meet in the playoffs, which I will then crush you. I will make sure I crush you then.
Yeah. Well, if you make it to the playoffs, good luck.
It is time for the first 2017 Battle of the Superfans, and it is for the opener and for all of the pride marbles, for me anyway. It is against the Super Bowl winning New England Patriots, and it is, if you recognize my voice, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs, and I am your Kansas City Chiefs superfan. I am here with our New England Patriots superfan, Patrick, and I think this is going to be a good game. I have a number of points to make, but I'm going to toss it to the home team first, just to get your thoughts on why all of the universe's win streaks and all of the math says that this is going to be an easy win for you guys.
Okay, well, I like that you're throwing it to the home team first. Let's hope that your quarterback does the exact same thing. I just think we're the best team in the league on paper. I mean, we certainly have a couple of weaknesses that I wish they had shorn up in the offseason, but we're pretty solid top to bottom. Granted, so are you. And I honestly don't particularly care to open the season against the Chiefs, because the last time I remember that happening didn't end so well for Tom Brady. But we have an awesome backup too. So overall, I'm looking forward to the game. My biggest concern personally is right now I'm in Northern Ireland on business, and I got to try and find a place where I can actually see this game at 1:30 a.m. local time. That's going to be a challenge. But other than that, I think the Patriots can have a much easier time with the Chiefs than I am with the local bars.
Yeah, I do remember I was once having to watch actually one of those last Patriots-Chiefs games. It was the Monday night game. I ended up watching in a Paris hotel room on my laptop at 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning or something like that. Hopefully you figure out some means of watching the Chiefs beat you, because, and we're going to be seeing this for the next few days. Every single sportscaster is going to lay out the fact that the Patriots have won 9 out of 10 of the last openers. That even the Super Bowl winning teams in general almost never lose that opening game. The Patriots' record at Foxborough is also pretty much impenetrable. I feel like the universe and the way the universe works is slanted against the Chiefs, but I do think the Chiefs have as good a chance of anybody of actually winning this game in these conditions. Because, if you just look at the last couple of meetings between these two teams, you had, I guess it was 2014, a few years ago, where in Arrowhead, the Chiefs basically gave the Patriots their worst loss in a decade, a 41-14 stomper. And then the only other time we played in the last 3 years was in the playoffs in the 2015 season, where the Chiefs basically limped into Foxborough, having had to have won their last 10 games to make it into the playoffs. They were missing their top pass rusher and Justin Houston. They were missing their basically only wide receiver at the time and Jeremy Maclin. They're missing their top two running backs. And so basically, the Chiefs were dealing with having only old man Tom Bahali as a pass rusher. They basically their lead back was Niall Davis, who is not in the league. He's not on a team anymore. He had a bad fumble in that game, and their top two receivers led them in receptions. And this was the last game he played in or suited up for, the last time he was actually on a team. And Albert Wilson, who is our perennial fourth receiver, who I hate. Anyways, the Chiefs went in there with this totally undergunned and still made a game of it. They ended up losing by 7 points. If it wasn't for that fumble or maybe some better clock management, they actually would have had a real chance to.
It's not for those two huge mistakes that the Patriots don't make, because the roster you just described is basically the Patriots roster every year for the last 10 years, with the exception of you actually had at least one pass rusher. Right, the Patriots never have elite wide receivers. They never have an elite running back. They never have, multiple pass rushers. That's not what they bring to the table. What they bring to the table is preparation on the field and off, you know, tactics, execution, decision making, and ball control, right? So, like, where does Andy Reid tend to lose games? And I'm going way back to Philadelphia on this one. He screws up the end of the game with the clock, which is a classic Andy Reid, or they're loose with the football, right? So it's, I mean, that's why you win. That's why it's one of the reasons why the Chiefs games are exciting, because they're always in it at the end against the Patriots, but then they foobar it.
Well, one thing that you guys do have, I mean, you might not have the pass rushers or the running backs, but you do have a lot of wide receiving threats, and you carved up the Chiefs in that game with Gronkowski, who had just come back from injury, and Edelman, who just came back from injury. He had like 100 yards in this game, or that game, rather, but we're not going to see him in this game because he's gone down with an injury. And I don't know what my thoughts are, because I think it's – I get this Patriots are still sort of unsettled in terms of what their passing attack is going to look like. They have these – new weapons and Brandon Cooks and now Phil Dorsett, who just arrived in the door. But those are kind of just different models of receivers than Edelman and sort of the intermediate timing route guys that they tend to thrive with. You're still going to have Gronk, but I get the feeling that, you know, I mean, the two big injuries here, I think probably maybe cancel each other out, because sort of a low-key injury to the Chiefs was Steven Nelson being put on IR, probably to return, but he was going to be our starting slot corner. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of unproven guys in that group. But I don't know. I'm just curious, how are you feeling about what's going to be the new look Patriots passing attack and also against a good Chiefs passing defense?
I doubt it's going to really be new look. At Dorsett, I would be shocked if he plays football anytime soon. He's probably going to end up being a healthy scratch for half the year. Cooks will, if I'm guessing, he's going to be Edelman moving forward. Chris Hogan will be Chris Hogan on the outside. He's your real classic deep threat. And then you have, you know, Gronk running up the seam, as you mentioned. You did, to be fair, I did leave out Gronk among our list of assets earlier. like our wide receiving core, they're still going to run, you know, your classic Patriots routes that they've been running for 20 years, which are, you know, slants, like shallow, like crosses in, like that's not changing. We're not all of a sudden going to like have Brady uncorking it and throwing it 65 yards in the air. Like that's not Patriots football. That's not how they win games. Like it's slow, methodical, move the chains, like hit the guy for 3 yards, let them run for, you know, 8, and then do that twice, and you convert third down, right? Like, that's Patriots football. I'd be very, very surprised if they start playing a different game just because, you know, Edelman goes down with an injury, which, by the way, not to be a jerk about it, that's what Edelman does. Like, Edelman leaves hurt. Typically, it's not before the season starts, but it's usually about halfway through it, right? So it's not like they've never played with Julian Edelman before.
True. The other thing I'm looking for on defense, and you know, it's not like I've overanalyzed that last page, the playoff loss or anything, but I was really annoyed. I actually was at that game, and I was just infuriated most of the game because the Chiefs were playing way off all of the Patriots receivers the entire game. And generally, I love our defensive coordinator, but for whatever reason, they're playing like 10 yards off the ball. And again, like the Patriots mm-hmm. do what you just described. I mean, they don't need to beat you deep. They'll take the 5-yard completion over and over and over and over again. And I don't know why the Chiefs didn't adjust to that. And it especially annoyed me because then the week later, you guys went to Denver and Denver played press man and got their pass rushers. You know, they got home and that was, you know, and totally did what the Chiefs should have done against you guys. And I think a similar thing we saw last year with the Patriots in the playoffs, where you played a bad Texans team with nothing on offense. And they kept that game competitive and actually, I think, were winning at some point, even like deep into the third quarter when everyone knew, you know, figured you guys would blow them out. And it was because they were able to get good interior pass rush on Tom Brady and really disrupt him, put pass rushers in his face. And I think the Chiefs definitely have the capability of doing that. Their D-line is much improved over what it was last year. It's deep, and they now have actual interior pass rushers like Chris Jones. So I think if they can really get some guys in Tom Brady's face and not give him a real pocket, I think that's like going to be the one if the Chiefs can pull this one out.
No, and I agree. I mean, that's one of the two weaknesses I was talking about with the Patriots earlier in the call that I really wish they had addressed more aggressively in the offseason. It's the offensive line in general. I've always been particularly concerned about, you know, the edges. You know, I want some backup tackles, but that's not the biggest problem for Brady. Like, if Brady's in there, your biggest problem is stopping the interior rush. Like, it's tough to get to Brady from the outside. He gets rid of the ball too quickly. You know, but if you can rush him up the middle, that disrupts the timing of the short routes that he prefers, right? And that's where you can really screw things up. So that's been a concern of mine for a long time. And I don't think they took any real strides forward in that, you know, at least in this offseason. So that remains a concern. And the other is, you know, our defensive front seven, right? Because I didn't think we were particularly strong there to begin with. And then we had injuries and retirements make it worse, right? And of course, Coney Ealy didn't pan out, you know, which you didn't need to be a genius to know that wasn't really going to happen. Although I didn't think it would fail that dramatically. But, you know, so we're weak on the lines. And if you're a fan of football at all, if you're listening to this podcast, I assume that you are, you know that that's not really the recipe for a championship football team. So I am a little concerned that the Patriots are being way too overhyped, like way too overhyped about being, you know, the best team in the league by far, leaps and bounds, and we're lapping the competition, and then the hyperboles come in real fast, which I don't particularly care for. Right, and this would be a good matchup. Like, this is a team that usually matches up well against the Patriots. Hey, we usually beat them, and that's great. But if we want to start looking for chinks in the armor, I think we're going to find them in week one.
And I think this is going to be a really just fascinating game because they're just two coaches that I think game plan on like a game-by-game basis in some of the more interesting and creative ways. And I think, you know, obviously, you know, Belichick never shows anything in preseason, although you guys did. I did watch you guys just disassemble Detroit. But, you know, without any real flashy stuff. But, you know, the same thing with you know, Andy Reid. Like, we're now transitioning Tyreek Hill to be a number one receiver, but he didn't really play all that much in the preseason. And I'm sure that's because Andy Reid has a whole thick ream of plays that he's going to want to uncork against the Patriots with Tyreek Hill and with some of the new weapons we have. I mean, Spencer Ware going down does hurt this offense, but I think not a ton. Kareem Hunt, the rookie, has looked great, and they're going to run that as a stable anyway. I mean, I think they're not looking to make plays with the running backs so much this year as just having that be a steady grind and really take their shots with Tyreek Hill and with the, you know, the typical West Coast passing game moving them down the field, and Kelce obviously as well. I don't know. I mean, I guess, like, what are you looking to see in that aspect in terms of the matchups and in terms of some of the crazy stuff that Belichick might be coming up with your guys' new offense?
I mean, I'm honestly not looking for a lot of crazy. I'm kind of in the evaluation mode right now. I think the first few weeks for the Patriots tend to go that way. Like, you don't see a lot of, you know, exotic plays on either side of the ball in your first few weeks watching the Patriots. You typically see them come out, and it's sort of like an extension of the preseason where they're trying to get their offense and their defense fully installed, figure out what everybody can do, all the starters can do, you know, because they spend most of the preseason evaluating your backups and swapping people's positions around and, like, trying to figure out who their 53 are. And they sort of ease into the season. Granted, you can kind of do that when your division is as terrible as ours. You can maybe risk a loss or two, you know, and keep a lot in your back pocket for later. You know, and maybe that's not the case against the Chiefs. Maybe they want to definitely come out with a strong win against, you know, one of our tougher teams on the schedule. Like, at least the way it looks right now. Who knows how things look in a few weeks, but right now, this might be one of our tougher games, but I still think they're going to be fairly conservative. And that's good for me too, because I want to see if these guys can really play like 60 minutes of NFL football. If we have wide receivers running the wrong routes, just always a concern. If you see Tom Brady screaming at somebody on the sideline or on the field, like, chances are that's what happened, right? I want to make sure that our safeties are coming down and supporting the run, which was a problem in the preseason. And preferably that our front seven's able to contain the run in the first place. And so, like, we have a linebacking core that's kind of in flux in addition to having, you know, new defensive ends for all intents and purposes. So, like, there's a there's a lot of transition happening with this team, even though we're bringing back almost all of our starters on paper. I do feel like there's, you know, because of some things that happened the last few weeks, it's not as stable as I'd like it to be. But what are you looking for? What do you want to see tonight or Thursday night?
Well, kind of all the things I mentioned. I mean, I'm interested to see, because I mean, it's similar. The Chiefs in getting rid of Macklin and putting in Tyreek Hill as a number one wide receiver and not returning kicks anymore, other than punts occasionally. I mean, that's a really major transition. I mean, this guy was thought to be, it was sort of a developmental project and a fifth round pick last year. And he really came on mid-season last year. And like most of the dazzling stuff we saw early season was on special teams. And then it was only the last half of the season that he was like really being plugged in as an offensive weapon. But it was still some gadgety stuff. And I think there's always going to be some of that with Andy Reid. But I'm really curious to see how he holds up. And I'm interested to see how the Patriots defend the Chiefs. Because, again, going back to that playoff game, the Chiefs went into there with their only offensive weapon really being – Travis Kelce, and they bracketed him, and he had basically, I think he had like three catches or something. I mean, he was basically nullified in the game, which is what Belichick does to you. But and in that game, the Chiefs didn't have a second weapon to punch with. And this game, they are. I mean, they have at least those two guys where, you know, those are two matchup nightmares that even against a good Patriots defense, you guys are going to have to choose how you distribute the coverage between those two. And again, you know, the Chiefs are happy to dink and dunk to tight ends and running backs when, you know, you guys are, you know, moving tons of bodies their way. So that to me is going to be the really fun part. I think this is going to be, I'm going to go ahead and predict the Chiefs win just because I'm the Chiefs super fan. I mean, I know, again, like that the New England Patriots don't need any extra advantages to win. And being a season opener at Foxborough off of a Super Bowl win is just like, that's like impossible mode on any game. But I think the Chiefs have a chance to win it. And so therefore I'm going to go ahead and predict they do. And if they're going to win this game, it's going to be gutting it out as a, I'm going to say a 24-21 win.
Oh, I was so close there. And I agree with you. I do think it's going to be a gutting it out kind of game. I do think it's going to be closer than people say. A lot closer than people say. I think the Patriots win 24-20. I think they win 24-20 based on some very visible error of in the coaching staff. Somebody's going to make a bad call at the end of the game for the Chiefs to lose.
I'm sure it's going to involve at least a couple of failed challenges. That would be Andy Reid style.
A couple failed challenges, letting the clock run, something where everybody in the stadium's going, what are you thinking?
All right, well, that'll be fun as well. And I hope you get a chance to watch it some way, somehow up there in Northern Ireland. I am going to be enjoying myself with quite a few daddy sodas with this one, and hope it's a good game and no one gets injured.
Agreed.
So there's Nick and Patrick. You heard me earlier with Josh sort of disagree. I don't think that this game is going to be close at all. I think the atmosphere of that stadium is just going to be something that, honestly, as Patriots fans, we don't see all that often. Patriots fans are accused of being a wine and cheese type of crowd. They don't really get all that raucous. I think this is going to be a raucous atmosphere. I think this game, the audience is going to be off the hook. I will use every 90s reference I can. I already mentioned I'm part of the Beavis and Butthead generation. This is not going to be your daddy's Patriots game. Oh no. This crowd is going to be absolutely crazy. And I think a lot of it has to do with the unveiling of the Super Bowl banner. I think it has to do with this Patriots team, where there are high expectations placed on this Patriots team for sure. And I think it a lot will have to do with Roger Goodell being somewhere on the premises, whether or not he's publicly seen or not. That team, that crowd is going to be going nuts looking for Roger. So I think the crowd is going to be different. You know, Nick sort of try to waylay those stats about opening games and Super Bowl champions. That is real. That is not fake news. That is a real stat that the losers can relish in, because the losers are the team that's not the Super Bowl champion. So I do think the Patriots are going to dominate here against the Chiefs. Could it be close at the end? Sure. Maybe they, as Josh mentioned, maybe they lose by only a touchdown, but really it's, you know, it was never really that close. The Chiefs just made the last score after the Patriots got up quick early. I think that's going to be really a recipe for this Patriots team moving forward. I don't trust their defense all that much, but I still think their offense, even without Julian Edelman, is going to be a super high-powered one. Philip Dorsett, by the way, I don't put a lot of stock into Philip Dorsett, and you heard Patrick say it too. I think he's a fourth or fifth wide receiver at best on this team. He's not going to be a big contributor on this team. So if you're looking for fantasy advice on Philip Dorsett, or if you're looking at him as a guy who will be a major contributor to this offense, I don't see it. And I'm looking at tweets now, him talking about how he hasn't been used on punt returns. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be a point that he'll be able to contribute to this team either. So it really makes me scratch my head on the Jacoby Brissett trade even more. I'll have more about my thoughts on that Jacoby Brissett trade maybe tomorrow on the Thursday podcast. But for now, I'm going to leave you with my thoughts on the Patriots game. Patriots will win. I think they're going to win handily. So the opening spread is 8.5. It is one of those where I think the Chiefs could get that backdoor cover, but I don't. I'm going to take the Patriots even with the 8.5 points, give those up, and be a little concerned about a backdoor cover. But ultimately, I don't think this is going to be as close as Patrick and Nick seem to think. But what do I know? I am merely Pod Vader, and I'm only the guy that puts his face out there on every show, except for the Monday show, of course. I let the other guys work the weekends. So there you have it. That'll do it for today's podcast. Like I mentioned earlier, subscribe to the show. Leave us a review if you can. That would be great. It helps the show out, helps other people find our show. And I'll be back again tomorrow with the preview of the entirety of Week 1. So tune in, please. Here's Landry Jones. There you have it.
Next week will be next week. Today I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go back home and hang out.